and may the peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndale, and I'm privileged to be your host today. I warmly invite you to enter into another conversation in living the Catholic life. You know, at times we think about our Catholic life and we think of all the prayer books we have and the churches and the cathedrals and the basilicas and we think about Rome and all these beautiful things that really consist of our Catholic faith. But one of the things that really draws someone's heart into that faith is music. And the music, the richness of the music really puts us into the presence of God and really brings us to a fullness of our understanding of what gifts that others have that God has given them to really bring that beautiful ministry alive in our hearts. And we hear this and we're just elevated to a different place. Today, I have someone here by the name of Audrey Assad. She is an American songwriter and contemporary Christian music artist. Her debut album, The House You're Building, was released through Sparrow Records in 2010 and went to be named Christian Album of 2010 on Amazon and the Christian Breakthrough Album of the Year in iTunes. She has toured with other contemporary Christian artists such as Chris Tomlin, 10th Avenue North, Matt Maher, and Jars of Clay. And I'd like to introduce to you Audrey Assad. Welcome, Audrey.
Hi, Dick and Jim. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. You know, it's a... It's exciting to see who you've toured with. We've had, one of our conferences here in Michigan, we had a chance to have Matt Maher come to it and sing a few songs for us. So I really have a sense of who you're working with. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, he's a dear friend. I'm a big fan myself.
Well, listen, let's talk about you first because I think people want to know a little bit more about Audrey Assad and who you are. Audrey, were you born and raised Catholic or what?
No, I was raised in a church called the Plymouth Brethren, and that's a small one, so some of your listeners may have heard of it, but I don't know many people who are in that denomination, but I was raised that way in New Jersey. Both my parents were part of that denomination, and then I actually became Catholic about almost 8 years, or no, it just was 7 years this year, actually, at Easter. And so I was an adult, I was 23.
Well, I always say to those people, I say, welcome home.
Thanks.
Good to have you here. You know,
it's good to be here.
Just to a little background, when you say Plymouth Brethren, give us a little sense of what that is. That's a Protestant denomination.
It is. It is. I think it's this really interesting one, actually. It was started in the 1800s by a man named John Darby, it broke off of the Anglican Church. So it actually has a liturgical history, but it's very, he went sort of the extreme opposite to a sort of a Quaker aesthetic. So we had like no instruments, no carpet. We didn't have curtains on our windows in the church. We had all wood chairs, wood floors, no pictures, no icons.
Oh my.
No, nothing.
So you weren't drawn.
And our church, what's that?
You weren't drawn into music then over there.
Well, I actually was because we sang. We just sang a cappella.
Okay.
So we had a lot of our hymns were from the Anglican hymnal, actually, which is an incredible hymnal. They have an amazing hymn tradition. And so we sang in like four-part harmony, and it was really beautiful. And I actually learned a lot about singing from that experience.
Oh, that's beautiful. But there was no instruments in the church.
Correct, yes. Hmm. We sang a cappella there.
Okay, so here you are growing up in this Plymouth Brethren, and you're as I understand you were what you, something about you reconvert or committed yourself to the church at one time.
Yes, when I was 19, I kind of had a second conversion, and that sort of stemmed into I guess like a more deep exploration of the things that I grew up believing.
Okay.
And so that was where I kind of started to find myself interested in Catholicism in general.
Oh, okay. So when you say you were reconfirmed in her faith, did you reconfirm into the Plymouth Brethren, or were you really kind of, is this a personal reconversion?
Just a personal, me and Jesus in my room at 1 a.m. kind of thing.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your journey to Catholicism, because, you know, it's always interesting for our listeners, who many of them are cradled Catholics, to really understand that what would bring somebody in where you were at into the Catholic faith. There had to be something that triggered it.
Well, I can't look back and say there was one specific thing for me. I'm sure there was, but I don't maybe know what that was. I feel that for me it was a general growing sense of dissatisfaction with the lack of physical engagement in worship that I was experiencing in, you know, a Protestant denomination. I also feel that my grandmother and my extended family in the Middle East were all Catholics.
Okay.
I had never met any of them except for my grandmother, who actually converted to Protestant in Syria before she moved to the States. And so there was a heritage thing there for me too. Like, as I kind of got to the age where you start to wonder where your roots are, and, you know, I was also looking into it because of that. And then I think what really kind of, was the catalyst to all those things really becoming a priority for me was meeting a young Catholic, who really, really knew the faith.
Yeah.
And I say young, I mean a high school student that I met at a coffee shop, and he really evangelized me in a conversation that we had, and I was very intrigued. I had a lot of questions laying there, and he was like the first person I felt I could direct them at. And so I just had all these conversations with this young, you know, 17-year-old about religion, and he eventually introduced me to his family, and they were Steubenville graduates.
They were powerful.
They were an amazing family of six boys. Anyway, so they kind of catechized me, honestly, and I just had all these questions. And so finally I knew some Catholics who, you know, knew what they were talking about. Because growing up in New Jersey, I honestly didn't know a lot of Catholics that went to Mass. And so it was really important, I think, in my story for me to meet Catholics who were faithful and devout and really knew the faith.
Let me ask you this, Audrey. As you were in the church you were in prior to that, and I'm sure you really didn't have an experience with many Catholics, did you have some prejudice going in of the Catholic faith, what you thought it was, and you were totally blown away when you talked to these young men?
Yeah, I did know a lot of Catholics, actually, because where I grew up, all of my friends at school are Catholic, almost all of them. I grew up in an Irish-Italian Catholic town, and it was just, you know, left and right. Can't throw a stone without hitting five. It was like a lot of Catholic people, actually. And so my only experience with Catholics until I met this young man was with Catholics who were culturally Catholic, whose families didn't really attend Mass very often.
Right.
Who, when I was 7 years old, I was trying to have conversations with my friends about religion, about God, and they didn't really seem to be on the same wavelength with me because it wasn't something that was in their house, in their household in any weekly way at all. And so I met this, I guess I sort of just thought, you know, Catholics are dead religious people with no, you know, I had lots of, and I was raised in a very anti-Catholic denomination as well, so I had a lot of prejudice from that. So I talked to this young man, and I just was really blown away by his piety, I guess, but also by his conversational abilities about the faith and sort of his knowledge of church history and his vibrant mentality and attitude and demeanor. And it was everything. I mean, he was just a very beautiful person, and I was really impressed, I guess.
You know, Audrey, this is something that I'm glad you're talking about, because I'm addressing a lot of people who are listening to us today, why it is so important that we know our Catholic faith and why we can articulate it and why we become apologetics. Because if we run into someone like you, we have to be able to give a detailed account of what we believe and why we believe it. Because otherwise, we're just like kind of soft talking our Catholic faith, and we need to be more on fire with it.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel it's not even about being an intellectual or an academic, because not everybody is that.
Exactly.
But I do think there's a way in which everybody can engage with their faith on a level that makes it easy to witness to other people.
Yeah.
That it's changed your heart and your life. And I think that's what Protestants, and I know that I was always looking for in those conversations, was a sign of life from someone, you know, a sign of spiritual life, a sign that they had been regenerated or, you know, reborn in some way. And I mean, we used the term born again growing up. I don't necessarily adopt that term now, but I like what it stands for. It means, you know, having had an encounter with Christ that shocked you into life again, you know.
Yes.
And I think the sacraments do that, and I fully believe that, but I think there are levels on which that can be applied. And I think meeting Catholics who are in love with the Lord is a really amazing experience that a lot of people need to have.
Well, you know, when you talk about being born again, the positive answer for Catholics is, yes, we need to be born again. But it's an understanding of when Nicodemus says to the Lord, must I go back in the womb? But he was talking about baptism. He was talking about this regeneration of ourself in baptism. And we are born again through that baptism as child of God. So we as Catholics aren't that far away from that, but we just have a different interpretation of being born again.
Correct. I think that we would use a different term to describe what Protestants mean by born.
Exactly.
So we would use the word second conversion or a reconversion or a reawakening or any of those terms that they mean the same thing probably.
Exactly.
Like, sort of this encounter with the Lord as an adult, as a consenting person, in your heart and your spirit. And I think that's a really important thing for people to have. I think that even if you're baptized as an infant, then the ideal would be that you go on to a vibrant and, you know, vibrant new life as an adult in the Lord too. So yeah. I think that we just have a semantic issue.
you're probably right.
You know,
but you know, brought something else up too that was I just thought about. You said, you know, I have to be an intellectual, and I think back to Peter and Paul and James and John and Bartholomew, these fishermen who God chose. And they're all going to say, well, of course, but they were chosen by God, and you know, they were the apostles. But the reality of it is that same Spirit's alive today, and if you really ask the Lord to infuse that wisdom in you, He's going to give it to you, but you have to seek it, and you don't have to be an intellectual.
Absolutely.
An encounter with Christ is really having this relationship of the incarnate Son and really having an understanding of how much He loves us. And then for you, even more so, it's an understanding of the gift He's given you in music and how you encounter the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it is. And everybody has a place, you know, in God's heart. And I think, you know, it doesn't matter what intellectual level you're at. You are equally chosen.
Amen. So let's get back to Aud Vasad, the musician. When did you first start having this sense of wanting to play music or write music and really sing? I mean, in this venue you're in now.
The venue I'm in now, as far as praise and worship music goes, I really didn't start doing that till I was 19. I had been playing and singing for many years before that, but not in that capacity.
Okay.
But when I was 19 and when I had that conversion experience I told you about, I started to desire to write music for the church, and so I started doing that as a Protestant. And then I became Catholic and thought, I don't know, you know, what this means for what I'm doing, and I was already employed, you know, part-time doing that, and I became a Catholic and wasn't really sure where that would take me, but I ended up meeting Matt Marr, who you mentioned, and seeing that there is room for this kind of music in the Catholic Church, because when I became Catholic, I was not at that type of church, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know if there was room for that, and I was willing to walk away from it because I really wanted to join the church, but then I kind of met this whole young generation of Catholics who were interested in, what I would say is actually almost like a Taizé style. I really compare the two, because I feel like praise and worship music is very repetitive, so is Taizé. It's very mantra driven, you know, and that's a, you know, beautiful prayer tradition that I think a lot of churches are actually maybe more open to than they realize. But anyhow, I started to do that at 19 and then joined the church, and then I started singing with Matt probably a year after I became Catholic as a background vocalist. And so that was when I kind of started full-time work in this mission.
I meant to ask you another question. No, I'm just digressing a little bit. When you decided to come Catholic, and I always ask this question to converts, how was it taken in your family?
Well, it was okay. I mean, my dad and my mom were definitely put off by it at first. But they came around really quickly. Like, they came to my confirmation. They were very supportive after I think they saw that I was doing it for the right reasons and what they viewed as the right reasons, and that I was truly kind of seeking to deepen my relationship with God and the church. And I think once they saw that, they were okay with it.
Yeah.
I didn't really have the kind of story where I was you know, crucified for this at all. I think there was a couple of fights at the beginning when they first kind of thought, you know, you just have this weird obsession and, you know, does it mean you need to be Catholic and all that? We had those conversations, but then after a couple of years, after going through RCIA and everything, they really came around on it. So I've been very blessed.
That's wonderful.
To have a supportive family.
You know, most people who aren't within the Catholic Church, they hear about all the smells and the bells, and they're just not sure about us. I think once they witness either the Mass or a confirmation or even a funeral or a wedding, they see the richness of our theology and what we're about. And I think many times that can be very persuasive on somebody who's not sure about our Catholic faith.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my parents had never really experienced anything sacramental, and so they, as they came to Mass with me a few times, met the priest, you know, met people. I mean, it was very disarming way for them to experience that. I think there's a lot, like you said, a lot of rumors and kind of, you know, impressions out there about what Mass is like. And honestly, I think a lot of people view it as, like, in their brain, they're thinking of more closer to, like, a satanic Mass than an actual Mass.
Exactly.
They just have this impression that everything is so clerical and kind of far removed from human beings, and everything is higher than you, and you know, and it's really not the experience of modern Mass at all.
They see the Mass sometimes as a little bit of voodoo up there, because they think we're worshiping idols, or this bread and wine they see just doesn't have the significance of the Eucharist for them. And I can understand that if you don't have that mentality, but it certainly does take a profound understanding of what the Catholic Church is about. And thanks be to God, you said yes to the Lord on this.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad I did. Yeah, I mean, it's been a really wonderful thing in my life.
Amen. So as you're coming into the church, then is the music starting to change for you? Is the your thought process starting to change?
Well, I mean, I certainly think that my lyrics began to take on a new sensibility, mm-hmm. because I was looking at Christianity through a wider lens than I'd ever had, and a more deeply historical lens and all those things. But I wouldn't say, I mean, it felt natural to me. I didn't really have a drastic change at all. I think it was more like deepening everything that was already there.
Sure.
You know, building on top of a foundation I had received, and because I affirm a lot of what I was growing up that I grew up with. I was raised by a tradition that was very, very dedicated to the Word of God, very,
yes.
you know, as in the scriptures, I mean, and very dedicated to the practice of worship and, you know, a lot of these things that I think Catholicism only enriched, and because it came from them, you know, so it was sort of like going home rather than,
sure.
so it didn't feel drastic, it felt natural, it felt...
You know, Audra, I've always said, thanks be to God for other Christian denominations, because they really... there's a richness with them, there's a real integrity with them, and there's a sincerity in their heart. And they really hold, they're part of the glue that holds our culture together. And
They certainly are.
I
agree.
They're brothers and sisters in the Lord with us, and thanks be to God that they continue on that. And you obviously had good training in your growing years.
I did, and I think that it really, the farther I've gotten from the actual moment where I became Catholic, you know, a few years in, I'm starting to see that God is not, like, it can be true at the same time that the Catholic Church is the fullness of the faith,
mm-hmm.
and also that these other denominations have a place in the world and in the story of humanity, and that God is working there, and that He has done wonderful things with them. And I think that as a new convert, I was super zealous and sort of like, everyone needs to be Catholic, and you know, you're not...
Well, it should be, shouldn't they? Catholic. No.
Well, you know, yes and no. I mean, we live in this world that we live in, and they go like, well, this is the story that is being told here. I don't know, you know, and I can
right.
go like, it can be true at the same time that Catholicism is the fullness, but it's also the fact that, you know, of the matter that God is working in the church in all colors and shapes and sizes, and so... I just can go, you know what, these are my brothers and sisters. We can work together. We can experience levels of unity together.
That's right.
And work towards that. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen
nope.
without, you know, sort of these long, hard years of hashing this stuff out together. And
yep.
And I'm privileged and amazed at the sort of friends I've been given in my life that aren't Catholic, who I've had these rich relationships with.
Yes.
And a lot of that is over our, you know, various differences in the faith and dialoguing about that stuff. And it's a really wonderful thing to have in your life.
It is. It is. Hey, are you familiar with Father Grishel? He's over on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Benedict Grishel, Benedictine. He had said one time, and I always thought about this, he said, by the prayers of the Catholic Church, the other denominations survive. And what he meant by that was that we're the only church that prays for all denominations, that we all may be one in unity. And we continue that prayer even to this day, that we always pray for all our brothers and sisters. And I think it speaks highly of the Catholic faith, because we really want the unity, but we understand that it's not going to happen quickly. And we have to just continue to pray the Lord, like you said, and enjoy what they can bring to the table.
Yeah, absolutely, because they do have unique gifts, and they're very real. And I think that as a new Catholic, I started to disregard that. And as I've gotten a few more years into the church and seen, like, oh, we can learn from other people, you know, it's like, just because we have the fullness of the faith doesn't mean we're fully living it or we're fully expressing it. Or,
exactly.
You know, any of that. We're human beings, and so we need each other. You know?
Well, I often think this, too. If Jesus walked this earth and he couldn't convince people of who he was, who are we? I mean, we just have to let God work now. We plant the seed in water, but he makes it grow. And that's the best we can hope for. So, well, let's get down to Audra's side and some of her music now, because I want the listeners to have a full appreciation of who you are. And again, this is Deacon Jim Thorndale. You're listening to Holy Family Radio. I'm here with Audra's side, who is a contemporary Christian music artist, and it's a privilege to have her here. We're just talking about her upbringing and her conversion to Catholicism and her journey in life. So, Audrey, did I say everything? Is that correct? You're going to be coming here, I know, to Marshall, Michigan on September 13th, correct?
Correct. Yep. Saturday the 13th, Marshall High School.
All right. And later on, we'll get into the website and all that and how people can get a hold of you and get tickets on this.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about the current music you're really promoting now. And it's an album called Deaf Be Not Proud. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Tell us a little bit about this one.
So the record is really kind of inspired by the poem by John Donne, who's a Catholic poet that I have actually loved for many years. He has a poem that starts with the line, "Deaf, be not proud." And it's a poem about, you know, death being defeated by Christ. And I've always really loved it, and so I decided to write a little EP kind of inspired by it. And the title track is directly inspired. It's a sort of an arrangement of the poem. And I've always really loved these words. I think as an older person, I mean, I'm 30, I'm not, or 31, I'm not that old, but I have had enough experiences in the last 10 years of my life with death and with sickness and with people, losing people, and, you know, all of those things that kind of come with life, to have a real deep connection to these words and to this poetry. And so I wrote this record kind of coming out of that.
Yeah. You know, and it's a beautiful, Deaf Be Not Proud really is an understanding of how many people in this world don't understand that death is just the beginning. And so sometimes they see death as the end. And not, it's just the beginning. So it makes sense. Deaf Be Not Proud, because you claim nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We become children of God in a richer sense that way too. So what I'd like to do is I would like to have our listeners hear this song, Deaf Be Not Proud, which is a title track. And this is by Audra Saad, and please enjoy.
Deaf Be Not Proud. You will not kill me.
Again, that was Audrey Assad, and the music was Death Be Not Proud from her latest album coming on there. Audrey, that was beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's wonderful to hear that. Such a powerful meaning on that, too. You know, I heard the instruments going. Which ones were you playing? Were you playing the piano?
All of them except for the bass. It's really just keys.
Okay.
And a bass line. That's it. So I've played all the key stuff, and then there's a bass line in there.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That was wonderful to hear that. You know, another thing I know about you, Audrey, is you're married and you're a mother, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a 4-month-old, and I've been married for 3 years.
Oh my goodness! So how does that blend into your career? How's that going?
It's going well. I'm actually in the middle of tour rehearsals right now for this tour we're leaving on in a day or so, and it'll be our first kind of real big outing with him as far as touring.
Yeah.
But we're on a bus this time, and that makes it a lot easier, honestly. If I was in a van, I think it'd be really a challenge.
Exactly.
With a baby, but being on a tour bus, I'm really thankful to have kind of that situation because I think it's going to make it a lot easier. So I'll let you know in 6 months how it's going.
Yeah. How many do you travel with when you go?
Well, in this case, we're going to have 10 people,
okay.
Including our nanny. But it's because we're bringing a band that's opening for us called Bella Reeve, and they're a really wonderful worship band from Atlanta. And so we have them along as well. So I'm traveling with 5 myself and then 5 of them.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this question as a new mother. And I always find this amusing because I've had so many friends that when they were going to have their first child and had it had, and they said, oh, they had it all planned out and they knew exactly what to expect. And it was just going to be just absolutely like they said. And when that child came into their life, it was totally upside down. Things just changed dramatically.
Yes.
How about you?
I mean, I knew that would be the case, so I didn't honestly have very many expectations, but even the little ones I did were very much tossed over. I mean, I had a very high needs infant.
Yeah.
Something I didn't expect. He had a lot of feeding issues.
Okay.
Couldn't gain any weight. There was a lot of rough beginning, I guess.
Yeah.
You would say. And so that was something I just could not have known to plan for, didn't know how to handle. I mean,
sure.
It was a lot of turmoil for me, but I kind of knew from friends that like you just kind of had to go into it, just dive in. It's really every kid is very different.
Exactly.
And I was just hoping, you know, that I would be able to survive the first 3 months, and I did. And he's wonderful. He still doesn't nap, but he's great. And it's, you know, it's true. You're right. It's something you can't control. You can't really plan for.
No.
Another person at 100 miles an hour, and
exactly.
You just have to go for it.
Exactly. And when you first see him, too, it is just absolutely breathtaking, isn't it? When you see that child for the first time, you think, my God, it's creation of God.
Oh, man. So surreal.
Oh, it's wonderful. So has that influenced, or do you, and I probably asked this question, you probably have the answer already, but I'm sure this birth, this child, will probably give you some insight and inspiration into other songs. Just as being a mother.
I'm sure it will. It really hasn't yet, but I process very slowly.
Yeah.
So I have not written any music or any poetry or anything about him or from him right now. But I have a feeling that after a few months go by, that probably will happen.
Yeah, exactly.
It just takes me a long time to adjust to things in my life, and so I don't process them quickly. But I'm sure that will happen.
Yeah, exactly. Now, does your husband travel with you?
Not full-time, not even really part-time. He comes out, like, when we have some off days or, you know, here and there. Pretty much we try not to go longer than 2 weeks without seeing each other. So he has his own job, so he's, you know, not as flexible as me as far as traveling. But he comes out when he can, and we make it work.
Yeah, and that's what you have to do. You have to plan, and you got a marriage there, too, so you have to keep that together, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a full-time job.
Oh, yeah. 3 full-time jobs
I
have now.
Good for you. Good for you.
Well.
tell us a little bit more now. You're going to be coming to Marshall High School, the Auditorium for the Performing Arts, on September 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And will you be promoting this? Is that what you're going to be doing, promoting this current album now?
Yeah, we'll have we were actually doing physical copies of it, which we haven't done we haven't done yet. We've only released it digitally, so on the tour I'll have actual copies of that as well as like a live record I've never made available for sale before. And then, you know, we'll be playing all the songs from the record and from the last record, Fortunate Fall, a lot of songs off of that. And then Bella Reeve will be leading us in prayer too, and they're really wonderful. So yeah. It'll be a really cool night, I think.
How long did it take you to, from start to finish, to really come up with all the songs, get it together, and really come out into an album like this? What kind of time frame are we looking at in something like that?
Well, everybody's different, but the way I work is that I will suddenly sort of have this feeling that it's time to make something, and I'll just write it and make it all in one go. So I actually wrote it and recorded it in the last trimester of my pregnancy and released it a month after he was born. So it was very rapid. I wrote the songs probably in 2 weeks, pre-produced it.
My goodness.
Got it, you know, uploaded to iTunes and then had the baby and then released it. And that's the way I work. But I go for months without writing anything, and then I'll have kind of a sporadic, like, periods of work like that.
When you go through, do you consider that a dry spell when you're going through something like that? Or is it just you're really not concentrating on it?
No, it's just the natural rhythm of my work.
Okay.
And it means that I'm living life and I've got things to think about.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know what we'd like to do now is we've got another song we'd like to play of yours so that people can get a taste of who Audrey Saad is. And I know many people around the country have heard your music already, but it's nice to kind of promote this new music you've got coming out. I'd like to play the Love Is Moving. And maybe you can kind of give us an understanding of where this came from.
Yeah, well, I wrote this a few years ago, and it was, I actually ended up kind of co-writing it with a friend. Her name is Christy Knuckles, and she's a Passion worship leader from the movement Passion in Atlanta, if any of your listeners are familiar with that. It's a song that was inspired by the story of the woman with the issue of blood who touched the hem of Jesus' robe and was healed.
Oh, yes.
And I have always loved that story, and I think it's really a beautiful instance of, you know, the immediacy of God's miracles. It's just really beautiful, and I probably also love it because I don't see much like that in my life, and it's something I'm hopeful for. And anyway, I wrote it, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years ago, and it never made it onto any of my projects. So I was always really sad about that, and this record came together, and I thought, I feel like it fits theme, even if loosely, just, you know, about healing and kind of new life and all those things, and it fit with this record, and I was so excited to get to put it on here. So, and I've actually played it quite a bit during adoration processions as well, because I feel like it really fits. Love, you know, love with a capital L is really what we're talking about. We're talking about the face of God, the love of God, like Christ the person. So
amen.
Love Is Moving takes on a different meaning in that way.
You know, being a neophyte and making albums, which I know very little about, you said something that kind of struck me. You said it didn't make it onto the other ones after 4 or 5 years. Who picks what goes on your albums?
It's a committee process when you're on a label, which I was on a record label for 4 or 5 years, and you kind of have a team of people that speak into that.
Okay.
You ultimately sort of have veto power most of the time, but I didn't really, no one else really liked the song as much as I did, so it just never got there. And then when I went independent, I was able to do that for myself.
A little more control that way. How long have you been independent?
It's been 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
And it was a good move for you, I'm sure.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's been the best thing that ever happened to me, honestly, in terms of my career, for sure.
Oh, praise be to God. Well, listen, I'd like our audience to listen to it. Again, you're going to hear Audrey Saad, and the title of this song is Love Is Moving. Please enjoy.
Love is
Again, Audrey, thank you for being here. I've listened to that song, and I'm thinking, why would anybody not like that song? It was beautiful.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you liked it.
I did very much. I enjoyed that, and it was very profound in what we're talking about there, too. But again, when you have a committee trying to make the best album, so they all have to have some input to that, correct? Some input.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
But now you no longer have that because you've gone, you're independent now.
Correct.
Yeah,
yep,
good.
I've been
good.
Doing independent music for 2 years, yeah.
You know, I always ask people who have achieved success that you have in your music career and continue to do so. Does Audrey Assad have any favorite artist she likes?
Oh, yeah. Paul Simon is my favorite artist probably ever. So I love him, and Simon and Garfunkel was something I grew up on, too. And then big Sarah McLachlan fan as well, which makes sense. Piano, girl singer.
Sure.
And then I guess I could name James Taylor in there, too. I really grew up on a lot of 70s folk music, and that's always been my favorite.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, here I read part of your bio, and it said that you were about playing music or singing music at the age of 2?
Yeah, I was already singing before that and playing piano at 2 years old.
And playing piano.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, have you have a son, right? Correct?
A son, yeah.
Yeah. His name is have you set him at the piano bench yet?
I have. Yeah, he likes it. He doesn't know what he's doing, but it's fun.
Yeah. Wonderful. I mean, that's where it starts, correct?
Yep. It sure does.
Getting him to listen to that and everything else too.
Mm-hmm.
When you're now, I see here. Are you still going to be at the Lipscomb University in Nashville on the 11th?
Tomorrow, the 11th.
Yeah. Now, what state are you located in now, Audrey?
Nashville, Tennessee is where I live.
Oh, you're in Nashville, Tennessee. So
mm-hmm.
you're home right now where you're going to.
Yeah, I'm rehearsing today, and the 11th will be at Lipscomb, and then we head out.
Okay. And will this be promoting your Death Be Not Proud for the concert?
Yeah, I'm doing a whole tour, 26 shows. On the record, so there we'll be doing the same thing every night, and people can find out where that is at my website, and
sure.
It's audreyassad.com. You can click on tour, all the dates are there, look at links to buy tickets and all that stuff, as well as some videos of some of the songs, and there's lots of stuff there.
If you don't mind, I'm going to spell it out for the audience too. It's AudreyAssad.
Yes.
At audreyassad at what?
AudreyAssad.com.
Okay, AudreyAssad.com.
Click on tour. Yep.
Wonderful. I just want our audience to have that on there. When you go to something like the university here and you're traveling, will any other artists be joining you, or are you going to be just there alone?
Yeah, I have a band from Atlanta called Bella Reeve that are joining me. They're a really amazing worship band, and I've been running into them on the road for years, and we toured together last year actually with a band called Run Collective, and we both opened on the tour, and I've loved their music for a long time, and so I'm really excited to have them out.
Oh, that's wonderful. But you'll be the headliner, right?
Yes.
Yeah, wonderful. As you go on here and you keep developing your skills, and obviously they're beautiful now, but we all seem to get better as we age, don't we?
I hope we do.
What are your future plans? What's the future plans for Audrey Assad? Do you see more like this music, or getting into other venues or something like that?
Well, I'll always write music for the church, I think, and release records here and there for that, because I don't anticipate that being something I don't want to do anymore ever. But I also have a lot of other projects I've wanted to work on, and I'm taking the opportunity to do that in the next 3 years, sort of some pop stuff, some folk stuff that I've just been wanting to write and explore other venues and other, other streams of
sure.
art. And so, I'm working on a project called Lev. It's L-E-V-V, and I'm working on that, releasing an EP actually early 2015. I just recorded it in August. It's a pop project I've been kind of working on for 3 years, and I'm finally getting to record it.
Wonderful.
And then we'll see from there. I mean, who knows? I don't know. But, yeah, I'll always make these records I want to do everything.
I don't blame you. You've got a beautiful, beautiful voice. Matter of fact, I have to tell you, I had a local artist in here the other day, and her name was Liz Christian, and you are her mentor. She just got her first album, and she'll probably be at Marshall, Michigan, to hear you.
Awesome.
Yeah, and she was just
great.
She was enamored with your music, and she said that she was you are her favorite artist.
So wow.
Just want to let you know that. And she had a beautiful voice also, and it was just wonderful to hear that. And I thought how positive it is for our youth to hear people like you, Audrey, because you know, we need that. We need that.
We all have those people in our lives. It's an honor to be one, for sure.
Yeah. When you go to these universities, are you drawing people from all, obviously, all different denominations in a Christian world, I would assume? Not just
Catholics.
Yeah, there's
a variety, for sure.
And
which I love.
What would be the typical, something like the university you're going to now, how many people will be there, do you think?
I couldn't tell you. Nashville's really hard to predict, actually.
Is it?
I really have no idea how many people are going to be there. It could be 100, it could be 400. I anticipate most of these nights being around 500 or 600 people, but I think Nashville will probably be smaller.
How about the Grand Ole Opry? Are you going to get in there one day?
I've actually sang there. I sang there when the baby was a month old. I backed up Matt Maher at the Grand Ole Opry. Actually.
Is that right?
I did.
Oh, that's that was exciting, I'm sure.
It was really cool. It was a really amazing time.
So what would be a typical rehearsal time for you? Now, I think people have to have a sense of what it means to be an artist like you are. And they just assume you have this great voice and you can just pop out a song anytime you want. But there's got to be a lot of rehearsal time. There's got to be a lot of dedication to training yourself. And what's a typical day for you like along with having a child?
Well, I don't really have a good answer to that question because I don't really have a routine with him yet. But I mean, right now, you know, I'm at a rehearsal space in Nashville and I'm taking breaks to feed him every couple hours. And I have an amazing road nanny who's here. She's helping. And I just take a break whenever I need to hang with him. And I just kind of work in between and then put him to bed at night and go back to it at home. So It's a lot more hectic than it was without a baby, but it's still doable. And I kind of feel like the way I feel that he's going to be the happiest child is if he has happy and whole and fulfilled parents.
Exactly.
So while I always want to put him first, but I also want to pursue the things that make me a better person. And so I think it's important to strike that balance. And so that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, I would suggest your husband is very accommodating for you because you're going in a lot of different directions. So he must be a man who really willing to promote you and really looks to you for it's beautiful to have that relationship.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm very blessed for
yes,
sure.
Yes, yes. You know what I'd like to do too, Audrey, too, is have our listeners have one more song by you. And what would be one song that you would like them to hear off of this title track again?
I would say Lamb of God would be my choice.
Lamb of God?
Yes.
We'd love to play that because I think it really is important that they hear this music because it really will bring people into the in a praise session. But not only that, it'll bring them into understanding who you are and they'll thirst for more of listening to you. So what I'd like to do is now this is going to be Audrey Assad, and this is from her latest album called Death Be Not Proud, and this is Lamb of God. Please enjoy.
Miracle of miracles.
Again, you're listening to Audrey Assad, and that's off her new album called Death Be Not Proud, and that was Lamb of God. And Audrey, that was beautiful.
Thank you very much.
I'm happy that our listening audience have a chance to hear your music.
Me too. It's really great to be on your show today. Thank you very much.
Yes. You know, I did notice, too, one thing I need to ask you is I see you were living in Arizona at one time. Was your mood to Nashville kind of precipitated by it's really a lot of music country over there?
Yeah. Yes. The short answer is yes. I'd actually already lived in Nashville for a few years before I moved to Arizona, and then I moved back here 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago now. And it's just more convenient for touring, and a lot of my business relationships are here, and so it just made more sense to live here.
Yeah, exactly. And that's beautiful country there in Nashville, too.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there many times and enjoy it there. And, of course, Arizona is beautiful also. So
it can be.
Yeah, you're right. It can be. You know, as you progress in your career, Audrey, I always ask people who have really reached a level of success that you have. You know, I know the music industry is very competitive, and I understand that. But there's many young women and men out there who are listening and maybe struggling in their music career. What would you tell them?
I would tell them that success is not all it's chalked up to be. There's a lot of wonderful things that come with it and a lot of terrible things that come with it. And so in my opinion, wherever you are is a good place. I know it can be frustrating to not be, you know, feeling like things are just gelling for you. I've been there. However, there were a lot of beautiful, simple things about that season in my life that I missed.
Yeah.
And so it's good to just be content and thankful wherever you're at, because it will change in some way or another, and it will be different, and you can't get it back. You can't get today back. So just
well put.
Enjoy the day that you have in front of you.
It's really living in God's love and living in His providence that makes us successful.
Mm-hmm.
It's really coming to understand what He's placed us on in this earth for. Audrey, we're running out of time here, but I would like to have you give our audience again your website and how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, my name is Audrey Assad, and you can go to audreyassad.com, and it's AudreyAssad. And there you can find my tour dates and more music and information and all kinds of fun stuff at the website.
That's what we need to know.
Feel free to check it out.
That's what we need to know. To the listeners here, it's been a privilege of mine to have Audrey Assad here on the radio, Holy Family Radio. And Audrey, we're going to wish you the best of not luck. We're going to wish you all the blessings on this tour, because you'll be taking your new little son along with you, and it's going to be a busy time for you. And
yeah, sure is.
Yes, but you'll be in our prayers, and we'll see you. We'll just keep pumping it up for Marshall High School that you're going to be at there on September 13th. And it should be wonderful to hear you. So I just want to thank you so much for being with us and giving our audience a chance to know who Audrey Assad is.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been fun. Thank you.
You're so welcome. And we'll, as I said, we're going to continue on in prayer for you. And as always, I thank our listeners here at Holy Family Radio. And this is Deacon Jim Thorndal saying God bless and have a beautiful day.
Been listening to Living the Catholic Life with your host Deacon Jim Thorndal on Holy Family Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.